that it's getting close to Chodesh Adar, and that the guys are going away in about a week. So which means that this is probably my last chance to talk to the guys before Adar and before Purim. So a suggestion, we talk a little bit about some of the different inyanim, even though I'm sure everyone have their own take. Okay. So first, before we get to Purim, we go slowly, just quickly. First of all, there's the yeshiva. I was doing this really in Chavetz Chaim Seder today. Some of the people, I want to remind everyone that we do learn Chavetz Chaim Seder during lunch, whoever wants to come, on Monday, on Tuesdays. So the Chavetz Chaim brought that if a person speaks Lashon Hara in a base medrash or a base knesses, so besides the avera of Lashon Hara, he's over another avera of not having covered for a base medrash, which means that it's some an important thing. People don't know that there's a mitzvah. We said that every second you sit in the base medrash and you act in a respectful manner in the base medrash, besides learning, even if you're batoik, you're mekayim a mitzvah of mikdash haitiro. It's a pretty amazing thing. And vice versa, of course, if you're not acting in a kavadika manner, then you're over the avera. So he says you're speaking Lashon Hara. That's considered not a kavadika manner because it's like spitting in Hashem's face. So he says you're over mikdash haitiro. And he says that our base medrashim are considered that, and the Tanai doesn't help, etc., etc., etc. So the assumption, we were discussing this at this Seder, the assumption is that doing a certain Purim shtick in the base medrash would probably be an avera of mikdash haitiro. So like I used to say to many people, mimanashach, if it's not over the avera, it's probably not going to be funny. And if it's on par, if it reaches the madrega that it's really going to be funny, then you're probably over the avera. So there's really no point to do any Purim shtick in the base medrash. You know, okay, we got a avera heter to putting in the window outside the base medrash because, I don't know, I hope that's a good heter. But anyway, but Amaisa, we've been trying this for many years. When I first came to Miami, and I don't say Miami, but it used to be, when I first heard that the minig was that they used to be shticked on the base medrash, and Baruch Hashem, for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I don't know how long, there have not been any shtick in the base medrash over Purim. I don't think. You know? I don't think anyone remember. We've been pretty good. No, I think so. I don't remember. What?
Some guys pulled blue loaves out one year.
Pulled blue loaves? Okay. Okay. But the Maisa, we've been pretty good. They were in past years, they drove a car into the base medrash. They made a swimming pool in the base medrash. They put totem poles in the base medrash. They had some good shtick. But it's regretfully, what can I tell you? If it was a good shtick, it's probably over the Avera. So, you know, we do try and not be over Averas. It's a chiddush. But even though there's a din of essay doichel also say, but you're not allowed for the sake of shtick to do over el also say. So we do ask, we keep the base medrash. It's not just Rosh Chodesh Adar, it's during Purim, whatever it is. The base medrash is off limits, please, for shtick. Base medrash retains its kedusha. It's also musar, keeps it there just be in one makom kaddish. But it's also, you know, I think I really do believe it's a halacha. It's a halacha that it's not, I don't really see why it would be mutter. Okay.
Is having the Purim Mashgiach sit up at the Rebbeim, is that considered shtaking the base matter?
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. I hope not.
That's on Purim.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, even on Purim also we got to be. Okay, anyway. Don't ask hard questions. It's too hard of a question. Okay. The next thing, I just want to jump just quickly for a minute, talk about collecting. The collecting is a wonderful thing. It's obviously the yeshiva, especially, you know, and we have hakaras atov for the guys that go collecting. Even, you know, every yeshiva is running on a deficit. so that everything you collect is very helpful. When you're running on a profit, so okay, big deal. When you're running on a deficit, so I don't know what that means, running on a deficit. Like, what happens? You know, you owe the money. Like what's going to happen? So that's a problem. And it's just like when running more, more than 1 year in a deficit. So it is very appreciated. On the other hand, I just want to emphasize, I don't know if other people will say this, but the money is not everything, right? Which means that there's fort, we're still running a yeshiva, and there are certain things which we believe are more important than the money. The money is only a hechi teichi timsa to get a yeshiva. So therefore, first of all, you got to be very, very careful. You know, again, ends don't justify the means. Please do not make a chido Hashem when you go collecting. Now, how can you make a chido Hashem? Either by acting, you know, getting drunk or whatever, you know, acting improperly. There was a certain Baal Bus, I don't want to mention who, but it's a true story. Someone in the neighborhood here who, from a different yeshiva, one of our kashrut branches, of course, came down and stayed at his house, and they went collecting, and he lent them his car, and he complained to me that the guys left his car messy. They obviously ate in his car, and they left in a mess. He was very upset. You know, so that's, you know, shtekochet Hashem. Now, of course, it wasn't Miami guys, because it wasn't Miami. So it was, you know, we won't say Lashon Hara on what yeshiva was. But I'm sure my guys could do that too. In other words, you're at someone's house, you're borrowing someone's car, derech eretz, you know, you keep it neat. Don't go knocking on someone's door too late at night, even if it means, but otherwise I won't get my $25. You know, the Kiddush Hashem, or not making a Kiddush Hashem, is more important than the $25, $50, maybe $100, but seriously, it's more important. So you got to keep neatness in the car, you got to keep neatness where you're staying, you got to go to a minyan to show the people that if you're staying at someone's house, you should see that B'nai Torah, go to minyan. If there are certain things, you know, there's this famous story of Rabbi Zalm. I don't want to go off because I got too many things to talk about. But you know, the story of Rabbi Zalm in Thailand. Chuni Zalm learns in Shiva. So his father was flying from America. He was collecting in America. He was flying back to Israel on TWA, which I don't think flies anymore. And they stopped off in Israel, and he fell asleep. And the stewardess forgot to wake him, and they basically missed his stop, and it took off again, and the next stop was somewhere like in Jordan, and he didn't feel like getting off in Jordan, so they basically covered him up with a blanket, and because he looked very Jewish, you know, with a long beard and everything, he was a Rosh Hashiva, and then they ended up, the next stop after the Jordan, whatever, was in Thailand, so he ended up spending, I think it was Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. He ended up spending Rosh Hashanah in Thailand. And the story goes, it was written up, it's a famous story, that he succeeded in being mekarev a bunch of people and convincing them to come to yeshiva. Well, you know the story?
It's like a tape, and I never knew it was a real story.
So it's Chuni Zalm. You know Chuni Zalm? You know Chuni? In the Queens?
I don't know.
He's in Chuni Zalm. So it's his father. It's his father happened to. He said the way he found out the story, he told us that because he asked, he was talking, he had a shul, and he asked, if Chuni Zalm was in yeshiva, he asked his father, what a suggestion, what I should speak about. He says, why don't you speak about what I spoke about in Thailand? So that's how he found out the story. But anyway, the ma'isa, what I'm just trying to say is sometimes there are side things you can do which is worth much more than the money. If you can be mekarev someone, if you meet someone on the trip and you're mekarev of him, that's worth more than the money. I'm meichel the money. Right? Again, don't tell somebody else. But I think so. You know, the yeshiva is meichel. You know, especially if you're going to convince him to come here. But even if you're not going to convince him, even if you're going to convince him to go to Milwaukee, right? It's still, we're meichel. if you can convince them, or you're either going to convince them to go to a non-Chafetz Chaim yeshiva, right?
We'd like to convince them to go from Milwaukee to here.
Okay. Anyway, but in all seriousness, there are obviously it doesn't always happen, and I don't even know if you should assume it might happen, but sometimes it does happen. You have to keep your eyes open. You're going out, you're with people, you're staying at someone's home. So for sure there's opportunities for Kiddush Hashem that they should see that how people, yeshiva guys, behave. There's definitely opportunities for Chiddush Hashem. And you never know. You never know. Maybe there's more than that. And that both Kiddush Hashem and Chiddush Hashem are more important than the money. You know, if you make money, it'd be very nice, and it's very enjoyable, and it makes you feel good, it makes yeshiva feel good, and I'm not belittling it, but there's more important things. And so please make a Kiddush Hashem and avoid anything that would be a Kiddush Hashem. Okay. I guess we're getting closer to Purim, so we have to talk about Purim. I tell every year a story I heard from a very, very big gadol, Rav Shia, who was my Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael for many, many years. He's a very big gadol. It was a Talmud Muvik of Rav Baruch Ber. Shiva Healthy is one of the Gedolei Hador. You know, he definitely was, you know, but okay, it's not for me to say, but Shiva Healthy was one of the Gedolei Hador, you know, one of the greatest of the Dor. So he said the following story, that there was a certain famine, or I don't know famine, I take it back. There's a certain Sarah and Klaishu, I don't remember what it was, I take it back. So the Baal Shem Tov sent his chassidim to a certain city, says you must get a bracha from so-and-so, because only his bracha will save the world from this terrible decree. So they went to this city, as he told them their name was David ben Yaakov, I don't know, whatever the name he told them. So they went to the city, and they asked around, where is the tzaddik David ben Yaakov? And of course, as in every good Baal Shem Tov story, they couldn't find anybody by that name. And they find no one in the city by that name. Finally, they find that there's one person in the city, that name, basically, who's at the town drunk. So they get the town drunk, they lock him up in a room because he doesn't want to be sober, and they basically force him to become sober. He gets sober, they tell him the Baal Shem Tov says, you must give a bracha that this decree should go away. He gives the decree, and they let him out of the room. Of course, he gets drunk again, and of course, the decree goes away. So they come back to the Baal Shem Tov, and they ask him, what's pshat? Why should it be that the bracha of the town drunk is what's needed? It's so powerful. So he said that Hashem runs the world with certain mystical ways, skudas, whatever. There are certain mitzvahs that have certain skudas. We don't necessarily know which is which, but there is. And there is a skuda of the person gets a skuda that is brachas. Any bracha that you give is fulfilled. It's a certain kayacha brachas. Says Avram Avinu had a kayacha brachas. Says this person did a certain mitzvah, which the skuda of that mitzvah was that he has a kayach of brachas. However, he wasn't such an erdacha person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid he's going to discover that he has a kayach of brachas. He's going to open up a store for brachas and make millions of dollars, and he'll give brachas randomly to anyone who's the biggest bidder. And that's not a good thing. Brachas have to be given out, you know, where they're deserving. You know, you have to know who to give the right bracha. You know, you don't give the Rasha a bracha to be the, you know, you don't give Ace of the bracha, you should be the next Rosh Hashiva, right? You know, whatever it is, you have to have, you know, you can't just give brachas to the highest bidder. So in order to avoid the problem that he should give the bracha, shouldn't give brachas to the wrong person, so Hashem went ahead and turned him into a town drunk, a drunk. You know, if he's a drunk, he doesn't have to, he's too busy drinking to give brachas. Okay, that's the story. If you don't like the story, I can't help it. That's a Hasidic story. But the nimshel is supposed to be a true story. What can I tell you? The nimshel is that Purim is a day where the person's brachas are mekuyim. Purim is an amazingly spiritual day. Has amazingly spiritual power. Purim is Kippurim. right? Yom Kippurim is Kippurim, which means Purim is Yom Kippur, which is we consider the holiest day of the year, is Kippurim, is almost like Purim, which means that Purim has some kind of greater Kedusha than Yom Kippur, which means that if a person somehow uses Purim properly, he can reach amazing, amazing spiritual heights. Now, so now came a problem. It's too easy. So what did Hashem do? He made everyone drunks. Everyone drunks. If they don't take advantage, only the smart people take advantage. You know, but the other people, they don't take advantage. They're too busy drinking, and they have this amazing kayak. They can give brachas, whatever, you know, they can, but they're too busy drinking. They don't use it. That was the story from the Baal Shem Tov. He used to always say this, Rav Shia. So we do believe that Purim is an amazingly spiritual day. And the potential of growth on Purim is amazing. From a spiritual point of view, from a mystical point of view, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the day, right? The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu put mystical koiches in the day, there's an amazing thing. The Maisa, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I did try. You know, we used to go. Purim was a day I used to try to get brachos from many gedolim, and there are many fascinating stories. Basically, I had a sister who wasn't older, who was not married, and we went to the Stipler on Purim. We brought him Shalach Manas, and she met her chassan on Purim. Pretty amazing story. You know, I think I take credit for her shidduch. We have the famous story that myself, Rabbi Grumblat, we went to Rav Brook, because everyone knows that story. And we brought, we had a plan of going to around 10 different gedolim. So we brought the cheapest bottle, 10 bottles of the cheapest bottle of wine, because we didn't have such a big budget, and like the cheapest box of cookies or whatever. And so we brought to Rav Brook this simple bottle of wine, a box of cookies, and when there was someone else there, he wasn't home yet, told us to wait, and there was some gvir who brought this beautiful shalach manis, and we're both sitting at the table waiting for our brook, and we see this guy looking at us with our cheap shalach manis, and his gorgeous shalach, and he gives us this look like, you guys are a bunch of losers, you know. Okay, and then our brook walks in, thank you for coming. He says, the first thing I have to do is be yotzei shalach manis. So he takes this guy's shalach manis and gives it to us, and takes our shalach manis and gives it to him. And he was so about it. Anyway, so, okay. The Maisa. That's a relatively true story. Relatively. Yeah, no, it is a true story. Anyway, the Maisa. Even Rabbi Grumblat will tell that story. So the Maisa, Purim, you have to try and make it into a spiritual day. A person should try and learn on Purim a little bit. You should make it. It's a good day for a cheshbon nefesh. It's a very good day for a cheshbon nefesh because you get into a little bit of a certain, you know, sometimes, I don't know why, but there's certain things in the air that gets a person in a more thinking mood. And if you're, you know, at the right time, not when you're totally drunk, you can have a cheshbon nefesh and thinking about life. It's a day which can be very spiritual. I would like to make a suggestion that some guys should try and think of ways that we can make Purim a little bit more spiritual, because there are some Purims are very spiritual in yeshiva. Some years it's not. As much as others, so you know, if you can think about it a little bit, but we should have a little bit of learning, the davening we should be, you know, with kavana, we should have maybe a kumzit sometime. I think we tried that one year, it didn't work. I don't know. Did we try that last year? I think we did try it, and I don't know if it worked so well. What we tried it? What? I think we did try. No. Yeah, you know, I think we were supposed to try it at first. We're going to try it at the beginning of the Suda. We have to try and figure out ways to make the Purim a little bit more spiritual, because it's chaval. It really, we do believe, it's in the Svarim, that Purim is an amazing, you know, we're in yeshiva, the goal of our, we want to grow in Ruchnias. And Purim is a day to grow in Ruchnias. It's Yom Kippurim. It's an amazing day. Why should we just waste it, even if it's a fun day? But, you know, we're not here just for fun. If we wanted to have fun, I could go to Disneyland, you know? So we should try and figure out a way, and each person himself, try and figure out a way to make it more spiritual. Okay. The Maisa, part of also why Purim is an amazing day, is because it's a happy day. And happiness, we believe, Ivdu Ad Hashem B'Simcha, is a very, very important point. It's a major hashkafa of the yeshiva, that the way you grow in Ruchnias is through Simcha. Because when you have, I say this many times, when you have happy memories, and you look back on your yeshiva days, and you remember it, oh, it was gewaldig, so then it stays with you. If you had miserable time in yeshiva, so then anytime, your association of the yeshiva with miserable times is not going to stay with you. Rabbi Cohn told me, for example, I think I said, Rabbi Cohn, you know, Shai Cohn is a tremendous tzaddik. So in Israel, you go in a taxi, the minig is you do not tip the taxi driver. They won't mind, but it's not done. I don't know. And if you have to tip in Uber, I don't know. No.
You're not allowed to.
Okay. So in a taxi in Israel, the minig is that you do not tip. I don't know. See, I'm trying to tell about America, Ubers. So you don't tip. But Rich Cohn said he bedafka tips. Why? Because he says he goes in a taxi, it's an Israeli, he says he got the guy capture an audience for his whole taxi drive. You think he's just going to sit there like a, you know? He says he has a half hour to give the guy goods and musser. Then when he's finished, he wants the guy to like him. Because if he likes him, then he'll accept his musser. So he'll give him a nice tip. Oh! Right? So it's this idea that whether or not the Musar goes in, the Torah goes in, a lot depends on the memory. If I remember that guy, yeah, he's the guy that gave me that nice tip, then you also remember the nice Musar that he gave. If you ever think, oh, he's a cheap bum, you're not going to remember his Musar. So being happy in yeshiva is very important. Yeshiva is, we're very, very big believers in that happiness is a vehicle, and people learn better when they're happy. People daven better. People are more energized when they're happy. And people have better memories, and it lasts, it makes deeper imprints. So Purim is a very important day. And Chas v'Shalom, some people think that I want to get rid of Purim. You know, Purim is a tremendously important day. It's one of the most important days in yeshiva. It helps the yeshiva tremendously. Notwithstanding that, there are certain dangers in Purim. And we got to make sure that, not that we're trying to get rid of Purim, and not we're trying to ruin Purim and make it not fun, but we have to keep it halachically kosher, which means that even though it's a fun day, but you can't do averes. I'm sorry. You know, regretfully. So what are the things we have to worry about on Purim? I'm sure you'll hear other people talk about too, but why get the first crack? The first thing and the most important thing is you have to worry about safety. Right? There's a mitzvah deraisa shmart misnaf shoseichem. It's a real mitzvah. Even if a guy doesn't watch over his life, even if he comes out at the end and he's lucky and nothing happened, he's still not mekayim the mitzvah shmart misnaf shoseichem. Right? If you walk on a cliff and you were lucky and you didn't get hurt, you're over on the Shvart Nezav Shaseichem. It's not just because nothing happened doesn't mean you're not over the Aveira. Something does happen, then you're probably over more. So there's a mitzvah of Shvart Nezav Shaseichem. How does that apply in Purim? First of all, there are certain people who get drunk much too fast. They don't know how to, they don't know, I don't know, I can't tell them how, but they don't know how, you know, the safe way of drinking, whatever that is. We have apparently some experts in yeshiva who will teach you if you want a course, but there are many people do not know, and drinking can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. And especially, you get drunk too fast. And what happens very often, especially people who drink other things besides wine or beer, which have a higher alcohol content, they drink a little bit, nothing happens. So they say, oh, nothing happens. So they drink more, and then it hits them, and they're gone. And it can be very dangerous. We have had cases in yeshiva where we had a call for people to go to the hospital. Besides costing the person a nice amount of money, and his parents a nice amount of money sometimes, depending on your insurance. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous, you know. Person who drinks, you know, the body can have a reaction, from a shock, can go into shock and do the alcohol if it's too much, especially if it's quickly. The second danger is there's a guy when he's totally out of it can do crazy things. Again, you know, we have definitely should not drive cars if they're drinking anything, which I'm sure Rabbi Shaffer will talk about. The guys have to get rid of their keys. But the guys, there's a major street right next to yeshiva, right? What's to stop a guy, chas v'shalom, if he's a little bit drunk, and then to take a walk? I keep on telling the guys that there was a guy in Israel, it's a true story, that there's, if those who know Israel, there's a main highway that connects Sanhedrin Rechevet to Ramot. It's a main highway of Yerushalayim. Cars go at least 60 miles an hour. It's downhill, and it's on a spiral, and you can't see because it's a hill. And one of the guys decided to walk to a Sudan in Ramot, and then he decided to take a nap in the way and lie down in the middle of the highway, and that was a little bit dangerous. Just someone risked his life to save him and pulled him off the highway. But, you know, people drunk can do crazy things. People that jumped off the roof. You know, there are people that do crazy things when they're drunk. So there, you have to be careful. The yeshiva request varies strongly, and it's good to say it earlier before guys, that guys should drink only wine and beer because it's safer. It doesn't mean you can't, but it's more gradual, so less alcohol at once. Your body can get used to it. You don't have you can be in control. You can figure out how drunk you want to get. You don't have to get, the body doesn't go into shock so much. It's a much safer way of getting drunk. Even if you want to get drunk, you can do it slowly. You can stop. Maybe you don't get as total drunk. You don't go, whatever it is, which is also better, so you don't get so totally crazy. Does request. Most people in the past have listened. As everyone listens, there's always some wise guy who won't listen. I can't help it. But most guys, I think, do listen. And we really would like the guys. I don't see what the difference is. It's when you're drinking the wine, or if you don't like wine, you can do the beer, but don't mix them, please. That's not healthy, that much I know. And you drink a wine, you go, you gradual. Another way, there are guys who have gotten drunk in B'li Guzma in 15 minutes in Purim. They're already on the floor, vomiting. And then they spend the rest of the night in bed because they just drink too much, too fast. There's no fun for anyone. Okay. The second thing is a similar request. It just goes together. We also have to try and be legal. Yeshiva, one of the things that the yeshiva does try and do is we try and keep the law. We don't cheat on our taxes. We try and keep the law. It happens to be illegal to have an underage drinking party. It's illegal. And it's illegal even if you didn't supply the liquor, as long as you're there. If an adult is at a party where there's an underage, under 21, drinking party, all the adults can be arrested. And the school can be sued, can definitely lose its accreditation, which could cost the yeshiva literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's not a good thing. Chas v'shalom, it should not happen. But theoretically, it is in the realm of possibility. Hopefully it's roughly. But so therefore we do ask a second request, that if the person, for some crazy reason, that I don't know why he loves lying on the floor and vomiting, so he thinks, and the only way to do that is by drinking hard alcohol, and he cannot, is not happy with wine and or beer, we ask the guys to leave that in the dormitory. Right? In other words, we don't want to see hard alcohol. I don't want it to be, but if there is, if somebody, I can't, you guys are adults. We can't force you to do anything. So I would say, please do wine and beer. But if for some reason the guy says, no, that's going to ruin my Purim, I'm not listening. And there has been people who have done that. So as shocking as it might seem, because why would anyone, for no reason, just go against their Rebbeim requests? I don't know. So at least keep it in the dormitory. Don't bring it into public view, because it's illegal. I am not allowed to be here with liquor. I mean, probably not even allowed to be here with wine, but okay, wine is you can sort of get away with a little bit. It's religious. You know, it's sacra. What's it called?
Sacramento.
I don't know. It's not as bad. So, it's illegal for the Rebbeim to be around when there's hard liquor around. So, if you must, keep it in your dormitory. But I would really, really prefer if you don't. Okay. Anyway, a different topic, which to me is very, very dear to my heart. And that is that there is an Aveira called Mevaza Pnech Aveiro Barabim, which regretfully does happen sometimes. Now, it is not one of these minor little Averas. Mevaza Pnech Aveiro Barabim is Ein Lochek Leonam Haba. Now, I assume that's only if you do it b'mezid, and I don't think anyone's going to do it in mezid. So we don't have for enough. But still, if you do b'shoigeg a major Aveira, it's also not good. Shoigeg a little Aveira, okay. But a shoigeg of a big Aveira is not a good thing. Now, how does it happen that people can be mevaza pnech aveira b'rabim? It can happen a few different ways on Purim. Sometimes it can happen in the Purim skit, because the funniest lines are the ones that are true. But the ones that are true are the ones that are the most insulting. So whoever writes, I think I mentioned to some people already, that if you're making up the Purim play, either make it about fictional people, so that's no one can be insulted. You make up about fictional, a Rebbe, but it doesn't have to. Or if it's made about real people, it shouldn't be something that the person would be insulted. Now you have to use your judgment. I know it's very hard, but you have to use your judgment. So if it's basically totally not true, usually people don't get insulted when you make fun of them something that's not true. If it's something that's not really a chisarin, and also people don't get insulted. But if it's a real serious chisarin that a person has, and you make fun of it, barabim, it can be very insulting. I told people, it's a true story. I had the schus in one of my first years in Beis Medrash to be the star of the Purim play, not to my knowledge, of course. And that year, I convinced my parents to come to the yeshiva to see the Purim play, and I was very, very, very embarrassed. And I think whoever made it up was probably Yaitzi, being Mevaza Pnech Aveira B'Rabim. So it's just, you do have to be careful. Okay. The Maisa, I'm not trying to ruin the play, but it'd be, a cheshbon. The second way that you can be Mevaza Pnech Aveira B'Rabim is obviously with Gramim. Now, I don't want to kill Gramim because Rabbi Sharfman loves Gramim. I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Sharfman thinks that they are, I've had this discussion with him many times, and he thinks that they are basically tame and people don't get insulted. But still, if that's true, fine. But if, what about the one, the one Gramim that wasn't tame, and the guy does get insulted. So that's, that's a serious thing. So I'm not saying don't make ramen, I'm not saying, but use your judgment. But But don't make a grommet. Oh, I got this great grommet about that guy. Oh, I can make so much fun of him. Oh, it's so good. It's such geschmack. It mamish gets him right between the eyes. Right? You know, because some people, especially, also have to know a rule gadol, that some people are more sensitive than others. Right? This lesson, my first year of teaching, is a true story. I was teaching. I had a guy in my shir whose attendance was not so good. He was a bright guy and he was learning, but he was a little spacey, so his attendance wasn't so good. So it was in shir or something, and he was asking a question, and I said, you know, ask me later after shir, you know, in chazara, whatever. And he kept on asking, and I said, don't worry, I'll be there. And I guess I implied, you know, maybe you won't be there, but I'll be there. The guy, that wasn't such a bad line, I don't think, you know. The guy got so insulted, he started to cry. He ran out of the shir, and I was like, shocked. But, okay, I felt terrible. And I said, chatosi. And, you know, there's people, I wouldn't have thought it was such an insulting line. Everybody in the yeshiva knew that half the days he's not there. But he got tremendously insulted. So you don't know what insults people. So you have to be careful. So just because you think the guy won't be insulted, you got to be careful. You know, if you're not overweight, you don't think he'll be insulted if you call him overweight. But that's because you're skinny, so you don't think it's insulting. But he might think it's very insulting. You know, you don't know. People who have a chisaron can be very sensitive to it. You don't think there's anything so wrong because you don't have that chisaron. But other people have that chisaron. So, again, I'm not trying to ruin Purim and or Erev Purim, but at least if making up grammim, be very, very careful. Think about it twice before you say it. Okay? Write it down, even though it's Shabbos. But, you know, but write it, think it, right, you know, think it over. Don't just say it without thinking. First, think it to yourself and stop to say, is this appropriate or isn't it appropriate? If in doubt that you think there's a chance that the guy will be insulted, then don't say it. Okay, what can you do? It's such a great line. It's such a good line. Yeah, but what can you do? You save it for a different time. Anyway, because it's a serious thing. The same thing obviously goes true on Purim. Okay, I'm running out of time. A few other things that people just have to be careful on Purim is a sneeze. There seems to be a minig. I don't know where it comes from. I do not believe it's an old minig. I think it probably comes from Halloween, personally. But that the people get wear costumes, even though they will say, what do you mean? We find it in the Sfarim that they talk about it. But I don't believe that it was, Messiah from the Tyrus. You know, there was such a minig, but I think it was re-established because people like it because of Halloween or whatever. But anyway, I'm not sure. I don't want to say that. I shouldn't have said that on tape especially. There is a minig. People get dressed up on Purim. Definitely kids. Kids always got dressed up on Purim. But I don't remember as a kid that adults got dressed up. But today, adults also seem to get dressed up on Purim. Whether it is based on a minig or not based on a minig, I don't know. But it's fine. It makes guys happy, and there's nothing wrong. And kol hakavod, and go and get dressed up. And a lot of guys go to the used store here and next to Publix. And some people are more ambitious, and they go to there's a better one on the where is that one? Sixth Avenue, and they get they get all these crazy clothes, and it's fine. Hey, we're not trying to stop people from having fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Fun is a mitzvah. Just it should be sneistic, right? What means not sneistic? Don't come dressed up like a prostitute, which has happened. Right? Don't come dressed up in general, even like a girl. We've had a guy. You know, I've walked into the Purim yeshiva, and I saw a girl dancing with the guys, And okay, you know, when someone, he shaved his legs, he mamish, he put on a bra, you know, he looked mamish like a girl. And I don't think that's mutter, and it's not sneistic, you know, the don't, so don't, and in general, don't come with a costume. We have to see all your hair on your chest, you know, to your Tarzan, you know, whatever it is. You wanna wear a strict, funny costume. You want to dress up like the milkman, the baker, the shoemaker, a cowboy, I don't care. But it should be sneistic. It should not be a girl, and it should not be, you know, we don't have to see all your muscles bulging, whatever it is, right? Okay, anyway, that's important. What else do we need to say about Purim? There's also a din, Purim is a very good time for, you know, for conversation, and you know, I think that we give Rebbeim our love Purim because that's when they find out all the secrets. Because it says in Chazal, "Nitnas Yayin v'yatsa Soid," and the reason is because Yayin and Soid is in gematria the same. I assume that's not the only reason, but that is the thing. So we get all the secrets. But it has happened that the word guys, I don't say it's that common, but it has happened that the word guys who had to leave the yeshiva after Purim because they had a certain secret that they were embarrassed about, and they on Purim they told the whole yeshiva their secret. So don't do that. That ain't got a good idea. You know. So if you have a secret, try and keep it locked up or don't drink. We better be careful. Okay. What did I forget? Anything?
Giving high school kids.
What?
Giving high school kids.
Yes, okay. Don't give high school kids a drink. Parents can have tremendous tainas. Rabbi Che told me years ago that I asked him about a certain family. He said, we lost that family on Purim because the parents had tainas on him that he came to yeshiva and he got drunk, whatever. And after that, like for the next 20 years, you know, it's whatever, different reasons why you shouldn't do it to high school. But okay. Anyway, fine. And have a Hatzlacha Rabba, and I'm sure we'll hear more. When are they having Purim Mashgiach? Are they doing it this year?
Yeah.
When is that? Because the guys are going collecting, there'll be no time.
Absolutely.
We already started. Okay, right, sorry. Purim Mashgiach comes from Velazhen, just a Heiligen Messiah. Except in Velazhen, they did Purim Rosh Hashiva. Okay, but we're into Musar. So. Okay.